telling Pastor Clarice, like, oh my God, you know. I've always said this, that she's an exceptional communicator. And since I've been here in San Diego, she has reiterated to me all the time. Take people back to the cross.
Yeah.
Jesus had to be a part of every sermon, every Bible study, every communication that we have. But after all, we are who we are because of Him.
Yes.
So, take out your in your packages. You should have a notepad in there. So, we're going to have you to write this morning. And she took us to boot camp, got us to understand what that whole process is like, and how we should think, how we should. And I love the last part she said during the Q&A is that you don't start out being a major. You know, you don't start out being a general, an admiral. You know, you start out in the infantry. You know. Again, Bobby, not being a military person, excuse some of the terms, but you start out, as the Bible says, a foot soldier. And then, as the scripture said, if you can't deal with the horsemen and the footmen, then how are you going to deal with the horsemen, right? And so we understand everything comes in sections. So our scripture this morning. And then I'm also doing something different. I'm kind of doing old school. I have some readers this morning, and they're going to read some of the scriptures. But our big scripture is this. Then David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for this man who kills a Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" And so that's where our theme is coming from this morning. Now, I'm going to take us over to a different scripture, but in the time that it takes to get there, I just want to just plow some road quickly here. Now, there is a battle for your soul. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There is a battle for your soul. Now, there are two types of people, and then I'll give you what my title. The title is People of Exploits. Okay, taking notes, People of Exploits. So in the battle for your soul, there are the exploited, aka conquered. Somebody say conquered.
Conquered.
So again, in the battle for your soul, there is the exploited.
Mm-hmm.
These people are the conquered. And then there are those who have the testimony of doing exploits. They are the conquerors. Now this morning, I'm going to show you from the scripture how to become people of exploits. And not to have someone doing exploits on you. Mm-hmm. Amen? Because it matters what side of the fence you're on. You can either be the exploited or be the person that's exploiting the circumstance. So this morning we're going to look at that. So in the battle for your soul, two types of people, the exploited, aka conquered, or those that have a testimony like us, the exploits. We call them conquerors. Now, Romans 8:37, we all know the scripture to talk conquerors, is to that you are what? More, come on, preach, more than what?
More than.
Say it again, more than?
More than.
A conqueror. Now, notice that it did not say that you are more than conquered.
That's right.
Okay? Now, when we walk into our relationship with Jesus Christ, many times we walk in with a conquered attitude. With a conquered mentality that we can't do this and we can't do that. I don't have the education to do this. Maybe I grew up on the wrong side of the streets. Maybe I wish I was born a different ethnicity. And all these things come and say, you already conquered before you even step out. I always tell people this. One thing I learned from the movie Rocky is this. When somebody throw a punch, just don't be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we back that up with Paul. Paul said, I'm not like somebody who just beat in the air.
All
right. Right? And so we got to understand that sometimes the fights that you engage in is not your fight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's something, if you were engaged in some of my battles, some of my fights, you may not make it. Just like if I was involved in some of your battles, some of your fights, I may not make it. That is something that's been geared for you because you have the temperament, the skills, the competency to do those things. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, we have to understand two groups of people. I keep going back, and it's going to be really important later on. The exploited. Somebody say exploited.
Exploited.
A.K.A. conquered.
Conquered.
And those that do exploits, which mean the conqueror. The Bible said that you are more than a conqueror, not more than being exploited. Hallelujah. Now, going back to Satan, Satan wants to decimate you. He wants to macerate you. He wants to pulverize, pound you, steal, kill, and steal, and destroy from you. Now, you cannot allow Satan, if you're going to do exploits, you cannot allow Satan or the armies of Satan, armies of God, to defy, as the scripture says, to defy you,
right,
defy him, and defy your righteousness. I remember one time when we were living in Los Angeles, we bought our first home. It was a great home, but in the rear of the property, there was a block wall, and there was a public park on the other side. Now, you can imagine, anything happened in the park found itself in our backyard. If there was orgies back there, they were doing orgies in our backyard. If there was beer, things that drug paraphernalia, they just threw it over the fence. And here's the thing about it, when police came to the park, and the first thing we do is get rid of your stuff. So guess where it was at? In our backyard. So I had to take a stand one day. I just got tired. I just got sick and tired of being exploited. So I said, wait a minute. I knew from a young minister of the scripture, those that know their God shall do exploits. I knew that. And so one day I just had it. So I was sitting in the den and these guys just jumped the fence and they just ran through our yard. And now, me, my size. I jumped out of the den. I don't know what came upon me. Maybe the same spirit that had Elijah to outrun the chariots. It jumped on me. I must have ran to the front yard. And when the guy came through the driveway section, I was there waiting for him. My hand just went up. I picked him up and I just drove him into, get this, I drove him into the garage door and I slammed him and just picked him up and held him up there. He looked at me and he just began to shake. And I began to look at him and I began to shake. I don't know what happened. And Chanel was in the room and she was just praying. And by the time I came to myself, that fear came upon me. But by then I had sent the message, I'm tired of being exploited. And he looked at me and he said, if you don't let me go, and I said, if you don't stop running across my yard, I got two kids here doing your stuff, I said, it's going to be on, and that be on going to be really important later on. And then he says, you don't know who you're dealing with. I said, no, you don't know who you're dealing with. And all of a sudden the conversation said, well, I'll shoot you. And I told him, I said, you see this stick in my hand, and I had a closet pole, the one that you hang your clothes on. It was thick. Now remember, I'm an ex-drum major, so I'm talking to him like this. I'm just twirling it, and I'm just saying, come on, bring it. I'm just waiting, because I got tired of being exploited. How many tired of being exploited? I'm going to show you today. Remember, you were in boot camp. Now it's time to understand, after boot camp, the principles, what you need to do to put in place in order for you not to be exploited. And I told him, I said, about time you reach into your chest and grab that gun, I will have you on the ground, beating you down, and you crying for your mom. Am I right, honey? And then he just looked at me, and he just said, I'm done, I'm done. And you know how we smile, you done. And all the time in me, the inner man is rising up, the spiritual man. But man, that man called Zach was just afraid. I'm all 5'8", and this guy was 6 feet, and I just picked him up and drove him into the garage and just held him there. Pastor Chanel called the police. She was smart. She probably didn't see her husband get beat down. The guy had ran off by the end, and the police came. The adrenaline was just going, and I'm still twirling. And the police, and they were in the car, pulled up, and they were like this and said, are you Mr. Morrison? Yeah. Can you drop the pole? And I'm thinking, oh, this is a weapon. And so he told me this. He said, I don't know how you did this. He said, we've been trying to get this guy for the longest time, and you threw him against the garage and twirled the pole. And I said, I guess so. You know, I'm just thinking. And then all of a sudden, he said, let me give you some advice. Don't bring a stick to a gunfight. Now, to end that story, we had no more problems with that whatsoever. That one guy told all the neighbors. Me, Pastor Nell, and our two kids, we were safe in that house. After that, nobody ever jumped the fence. No one ever threw anything over. You've got to come to the point, after your boot camp experience, after you learn what it's like, now you need to put the principles in place so you will not be exploited any longer. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Go with me to Daniel 11:32. Okay, let me have my one of my readers there. And so we going to old school, all right? Daniel 11:32. Go ahead, Pastor Stephen.
And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God,
oh, yeah, God,
shall be strong, mm-hmm, and do exploits.
Okay, read it one more time, Pastor Stephen. Listen. It's saying that the outside people will corrupt the inside people.
Mm-hmm.
They will corrupt the process. We call it sabotage. Who would say sabotage? They will sabotage the process. Now, they will continue to do wicked, but listen to the end part. This is where your thinking has to be if you're going to be the people of God, if you're going to come against somebody like Goliath and have a little slingshot. You need to know that your slingshot is just as powerful as a bullet. Go ahead, Pastor Stephen.
And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that do know their God.
Somebody make some noise. Come on.
Shall be strong.
Come on.
And do exploits.
How many ready to do some exploits?
Okay.
Now, you are people of exploits. Here's what I need you to do in this text. I need you to underline people who know God carry exploits. I need you to underline or either write it down, whatever one is best for you. Because we're going somewhere with this. So underline people who know God carry exploits. Now it's interesting because the word carry, the synonym for that word is the word bring. So the people that know God, guess what? Bring exploits with them. Look at somebody, tell them bring it.
Bring it.
Bring it.
Bring it.
Bring it.
You're in the army of the Lord. When someone comes up and confronts you, the first thing you do need to do like David. God asked David, as God, shall I pursue, shall I overtake, and shall I recover? Once you get that affirmative for God, that's the time that you stand and you say, bring it. Being people of exploits, you bring the exploit. Now, exploit as a noun. Exploit is a noun and a verb. But the noun portion of the word exploit means to be bold.
Mm-hmm.
It means to be noble. Because, see, some people be bold and they just got attitude.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Some people know that they can bring it and they want you to know that they can bring it. But it means to be noble with it. It's like this. If you know you're going to overpower somebody, you know, kind of, let me give you a different example. In a basketball game, if the winning team is up by 20 points or more, they kind of slow down. Because they don't want to embarrass the other team. They'll understand that they're their friends after the game. And so, we're going to still go out to eat after the game, even though I'm going to whoop you on the court. Right? And so, there is a nobility about you bringing your exploit. So, the word means to be bold, it means to be noble, it means to perform, here it is, a daring feat. David performed a daring feat. In other words, I dare you to defy me, Goliath speaking. David said, wait a minute, you come up against the armies of the Lord, you come up against God's people, and you are challenging us, and you're saying that if you win, we become your slave. God forbid. God didn't bring you out of Egypt. He didn't do all the miracles in Egypt. He didn't part the Red Sea. He didn't bring water from the rock. He didn't call manna out. He didn't send quail and all these things for you to become somebody's stepping stone. Huh? So you got to remember where you came from, because if you forget where you came from, you forget who you are. You are an exploit bringer. Somebody say bring it.
Bring it.
Also, the noun for the word exploit what it means to be heroic. To be heroic. You cannot be a Christian and not be heroic. Here's the thing about it. Even for you to go in prayer and ask God to heal you, you have to be heroic. What happens if he doesn't heal you the way how you think you should be healed? One thing Chanel always says to us, she said, you can't tell God how to heal you. You ask him to heal you. Now, whether he decide to heal you through medicine, whether he decide to heal you supernaturally, you may be like a Naaman. You may just have to go for a swim.
All right.
But as long as he heals you, you can't tell him how. God, I'm going to sit at my house right now. I'm going to sit here just watching TV. I need you to heal me. God said it doesn't work that way. So being a person of exploits, you have to be heroic in warfare. Now we're going to war. I'm going to teach you how the war to be exploited in your warfare. Now here are some camps here. You can't believe in God. You can't read the Bible. You can't serve God. You can't worship God and not be a person of exploits. Let me say it again. You can't continue to read the scriptures. You can't continue to believe God. You can't continue to worship God and not become a person of exploit. It doesn't make any sense. It's like this. You can't expect to work all your life and not buy a car.
Well, right now.
You can't expect to work during the week and not eat. Your money is the catalyst that enables you to actually eat. So you can't come to church. You can't shout on Sunday. You can't sing in the choir. You can't give offerings and not become a person of exploits.
Yes, sir.
Let me show it to you this way. And the reason why you can't, because we serve a God who is a God of exploits. Now, you created in his image. You look like him. When you look in the mirror, you don't see yourself, but you see the image of Jesus Christ. So when you understand that the Lord was a man of exploits, and if you're going to mirror him and walk like him, walk after him, and become inundated with him, you have to adapt the mentality of being a person of exploits.
All right. Good man.
Let me share this with you. In order to do exploits, first, you must learn how to fight. I'm going to teach you how to fight. So this is a warfare thing. Now, I'm not going to use the scripture, put on the whole armor of God, because as saints, you never should have taken it off anyway. The Bible tells us to put it on. It never tells after that to take it off. That means that you get up in the morning, it's on. That means that you go to the office, it's on. You at the mall, it's on. You driving your car, it's on. It never should be taken off. So we don't want to go there. We don't want our feet shot on the curb. We know all that. But we need to know what it's like in order to be combative and to be people of exploits without all the stuff on. See, one thing I like about the story of David and Goliath, he didn't have any armor. But he was a man of exploits because his past told him that if I can kill the lion, if I can kill a bear, I can totally take a man down.
All right.
Huh?
Amen.
Right? If I can kill a lion and a bear, and even he even gets to just a little bit graphic, I snatched the lamb out of the lion's mouth. Now, I'm like this. If something's in the mouth, it's already dead. But David had an insight. He said, there's still life there. So God said, even being a person of exploit, it may seem like you're down. It may seem like you're bit on. It may seem like you held captive. But guess what? Being an exploited person, you can snatch that person away. And all of a sudden, God shows up. The Jew said that, like this. Said, even when you're praying for people, witness to people, said, some people you got to snatch out.
Yeah.
Huh? They said that. Some people you got to snatch out. And so we got to understand that if you're going to do exploits, be in this army, you need to be a person that's like God. The God is the God of exploits.
Yes, sir.
Rita, let me have the next scripture to be in Numbers. Listen to this. Listen to this.
Numbers 10 and 9. And it reads as follows. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies.
All right, now let's look at it again. When you are in war, you're in this army. Now, you're in this army. The boot camp training is done. Now you put up there, when you are in war, in the land against the enemy, the key word is who oppress you. As Christian, I don't think you read the news, lady. You are being oppressed. All right? And so when you are oppressed, it says, first sound the alarm. I'm going to bring my trumpet this morning. I just forgot it. It says, sound the trumpet. Sound the trumpet. Remember, when you're oppressed, sound the trumpet, and God steps in. He sees your plight, your situation. He steps in, and he saves you from your oppressor. All right? Now, how does that happen? The first step you need to do to take this down, your responsibility. The scripture has a two-part responsibility process in it, 2 points. The first point is your responsibility. You can put my responsibility. Remember, I'm taking you to this combat zone here. Your responsibility is to identify that the enemy is oppressing you. Some of us, we don't know that we're oppressed, but we are. Some of us don't know. I remember when we had the Prop 8 initiative. We were hanging out with Jim Garlow, and we were there, Bishop, and then the cameras just kind of pan to the side. Jim Garlow is a fellowship of grace. He's a part of ours. And since we were there, all of a sudden, Pastor Christian, the camera just pans over to see me and Pastor Chanel there. All of a sudden, we got labeled. We weren't speaking. We just sitting there. Just happened to be sitting in the section that the guest pastor was in. Well, this pastor's line with the church over there, blah, blah, blah. Next thing we know, we come to church that weekend. Our whole property was littered with, I think it was Noah property. I believe that because it was kind of backwards. And so it was all littered because we took a stand. We drew a line in the sand and we took a stand and we said, no, marriage is between a man and a woman. I don't care what you say.
That's right, man.
And because of that, we became oppressed. We were visited by people, sat in the congregation. I still preach like I preached. The thing about it, remember, we preach in love. And all of a sudden, our names are circulating. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. So we were oppressed. So what we did, we got on the phone, we called some national leaders, and they gave us some ideas and some best practices on how to stand against that attack. And so when you identify that you are oppressed, your responsibility is identify that you're oppressed. The second thing you need to do is to sound the alarm or blow the trumpet.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. We identified the oppression, and then we sounded the alarm. We riled up people that can come beside us. We riled up people that say we're standing. So our army of two became an army of 1,000. And we have people around the United States standing with us in this process. And after a while, it just kind of went away. So your responsibility in taking to become a person of exploit is, one, identify the enemy that's oppressing you. It could be drugs. It could be a bad relationship. It could be financial. Okay? Whatever it is, identify that enemy. Sound the alarm. And the reason why you sounded the alarm, when you blow the trumpet or when they blew the ram's horn, they get this. They declare it's time to vanquish and defeat the enemy. When you sound the alarm in prayer, when you sound the alarm in intercession, when you sound the alarm in worship, when you sound the alarm in praise, all of a sudden that holy trumpet goes up, the same trumpet that said, when the trump of God shall sound, that Jesus Christ also take notes. He comes down and say, you blow that, and all of a sudden something happens in the spiritual realm. The enemy said, uh-oh, they have rallied the base. They have rallied the troops. They have people supporting him, and all of a sudden, heaven is put on notice, and hell also said, wait a minute, the people over there have declared, and the people on your side said, it's time to vanquish, defeat, and crush the enemy. The second thing that happens in the responsibility is that God has a responsibility.
That's right.
Here's God's responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
God will take notice.
That's right.
God will see your plight. He sees what's happening. Remember, we're on here. And God will take notice. And the last part of scripture said, God will intervene.
Yes.
So let me repeat that again. The scripture has a two-step process. You have a process. Identify the enemy that's oppressing you.
Right.
Number two, sound the alarm. Blow the trumpet. Rally the base. Rally the troops. Set the prayer warriors in place. Give people prayer. And let me tell you, time out for being private.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want people to know what I'm going through.
Come on.
Let me tell you something about a good intercessor. Me and Prophet Blessed, we had an encounter this morning. God shared some things with her, to her, about the church. And she was apprehensive to tell me. And I said, just tell me.
Yeah.
You know? And so she told me. And so I began to share with her what's going on with the church. She almost shouted out here.
Yeah.
What's the point? If you don't share it, God sends a prophet, and they're going to tell it anyway.
Yeah.
So just get it out. Right?
All right.
Rita, let me have next scripture. And we'll be almost done here. Listen to this scripture in Exodus. Because remember, your God is a God of exploits. In order for you to have victory in your life, your ministry, your home, your relationship, your business, by being in God's army, you need to understand there are some people in the army that has already done what you want to do. They've already been there where you're trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this scripture in Exodus. Go ahead.
Exodus 15 and 3. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name.
Say it again.
The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name.
The Lord, in the King James, you can just say, the Lord is a man of war.
Yes.
If God is a man of war, what are you doing trying to be, hear me out, a business leader? If God is a man of war, it's not time for you to become a manager. If God is a man of war, then what are you doing? Why are you doing something else when it's time to be a man of war? We know what happened. Let me give you an example. The Bible said that it was the time of season that kings went to war. David stayed at home. Anybody remember that one? It said there was a time when the kings went to war. What they did, they expanded the kingdom. They began to bring things in to build up infrastructure and things like that, to acquire land, acquire a different tribe. And it said the time of war, David stayed home. And we know what happened when David stayed home. He saw Bathsheba.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Somebody need to say ouch. When it's time to go to war, because God is the man of war, it's not time for you to stay at home and play PlayStation. It's not time for you to stay at home and twiddle your thumbs or I need to catch up on the next episode, so you're going to do a streaming binge and watch those things. When it's time to go to war, it's time to go to war. And let me say this. When it's time to fight, it's not time to sing. When it's time to fight, it's not time to praise. When it's time to fight, it's not time to worship. When it's time to fight, it's not time to preach. It's time to fight. God is a God of war. Listen to this. When it comes to war, this is real good. The scripture stresses the importance of God's hand, God's finger, God's arm, and God's feet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think all those are extremities that a soldier needs in order to fight.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Come on. We're it's like fourth and four right now. Fourth and one. Let me say it again. When it comes to 4, the scripture stresses the importance of God's hand, God's finger, God's arm, and God's feet. Now, I want to stress the importance and show you how these extremities are important to you doing exploits. Here we go. The hand of God. God's hand. Psalm 144 and 1. Let me have that. Psalm 144 and 1. It gives us an insight to how God uses this part or these part of the body. Psalm 144, 1. Let me have that up there. Psalm 144, 1. It says this. 144 and 1. Okay, we there yet? Okay. Blessed be the rock, the Lord God, my rock, who trains my hands to do what?
War.
And my finger to do battle. So God is saying there's something about your hand, amen, that you need to be doing war with. And something about the finger that complements the hand in order to fight. Now, your hands are trained for war. Now, the hand is made to grapple. The hand is made to contend. The hand is made to handle something. The hand is made to tackle. The hand is made to wrestle. The hand is made to hold on to and submit your enemy. That's what your hand does. Better hold your hand up. The hand is made for war. You put it down. Now, I read this on the internet the other day where this kid stole the mom's BMW. Have you all seen that? And the mom was so livid because this wasn't the first time he did it. So he took it on a joyride. The mom caught up with him, and the first thing she did when she got out of the car, she had that belt. She had it in her hand, and she was at war. She was she whipped him on camera. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
She whipped him on camera, and I looked at her and I said, blessed be the Lord God of that woman who taught her hands to walk. Yeah. You can't be in this army and not understand the importance of your hand. What's the importance of your hand? The importance of your hand is to handle, to tackle, to wrestle, to hold on to. When I was in high school, I wrestled. I was really, really great at it. And as I began to win, Bishop, I began to go up in class. And I began to beat all the guys because I understood how to grapple, how to hold, how to flip. And all good things come to an end. I wrestled this one kid. He was just too heavy. He was to pick me up and throw me down, and that was the end of it. You know where I went to? I went back to the band. Music was it for me. Non-combative. Now let's talk about the fingers. Psalm 144, 1 again, it says here, your fingers are made for battle. Somebody do this. Look at me to do this. Your fingers are made to battle. So your hand is here with your fingers. Say it again, Pastor. They do the work. You can't hold the sword. If you just have the hand, it just falls. But all of a sudden, you begin to grapple with both the hand and the fingers. Remember, the fingers are made to battle. The hand is made for war. Let me just one thing here. The fingers are made to manipulate, to pull, to grab, and everybody do this, to thrust the enemy. Thrust the enemy. Number 3, the arm. Deuteronomy 7:19. Make sure you write this down. So make sure, let's repeat it. Deuteronomy 7:19. The arm. The great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and the wonder that the mighty hand and outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out, so shall the Lord your God do this to the people of whom, the next slide. Okay, and so, of whom you are afraid. Uh-oh. Something about when an arm is stretched out. One thing about an arm, remember, we're in this thing, people of exploits. When your arm is stretched out, I love this, it extends the reach of your body.
All right.
Oh, I love you. See, as long as I'm here, this is, you know, okay, but I can stop the enemy further when my arm is outstretched. See, when your arm is outstretched, it extends the length of your victory.
That's right.
Say it again. When your arm is stretched out, it extends the length of your victory. That's why in the scripture it always said that God brought them out with a mighty hand and a what? Outstretched arm. Because when the arm was outstretched, God is not just outstretching it for them or for you, but he's outstretching it, letting the other people know that guess what? I'm far reaching beyond this territory, beyond this zone, beyond this locale. God is stretching further out because pretty soon you're going to pray the prayer of Jabez. God, extend my territory. The arm is also made to stretch beyond your limitations. That's why we're better together. If I needed to reach up higher and I can't get there, all of a sudden I would expect Bishop and Pastor Max, if they were bulkier, taller than me, to push me up and I can actually what? Reach higher, extend further. So in your exploits, you got to understand that your arm is made for you to reach, extend the length of your victory and go beyond your limitation. Also, it means this, to expand, grow, multiply, push, and enlarge what has been held back. How many of you people love football? I tried out for that too. Make a long story short, I went back to the band. Let me tell you, there's this thing in football that's called a straight arm. And when the tackler get close to you, and you don't have any defense, you're just all offense. But all of a sudden, if they come to tackle you, you go, get away. And if you do it the right way, they will fall every single time. So when the enemy comes at you and he's getting ready to grab you, just outstretch your arm and straight arm. Somebody do the same. Straight arm. We say it this way. You better back up. So when the enemy comes, remember, we're doing exploits, and all of a sudden they didn't know that God, you need to know what the hand does, the finger does, and what the purpose of the arm to extend the reach offensively or to defend what needs to be defensible. And so when the enemy comes, you extend, you straight arm him, and all of a sudden they fall. I was looking at a game the other day. This was so funny. And you hate to be on the highlight reel. Hate to be on the highlight reel. This running back was running, and then there's only one guy from him from making the touchdown. And the runner, the defensive back, he had the angle. And you know, the shortest between two points is what, a straight line. But when you invert that line, you come in this, you'll get there faster. So he was coming like this, and all of a sudden, when the defensive player was reaching to grab him, he just did this. He went, knocked him down. It was on all the highlight reels. Bishop Thomas, I felt so sorry for the guy. You on the highlight reel, you just got posterized. That's what some of you need to do to your enemy. You need to posterize him. You know how we take a selfie? Take your selfie, put it on Instagram, put it on social media, and say, this is what I did to the enemy. This last one here, then we turn the mic over. The feet. Your feet. The for this one here, we're going to go to Habakkuk 3:19, and let's go to the New Living Translation. Just need to just hit that little down arrow and go to the New Living Translation. Habakkuk 3:19, New Living Translation. So let's hit the New Living Translation there. I want to show you what this says here. This will bless you. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me sure-footed. Oh, we can preach on that. We want to teach, we can preach on that. He makes me sure-footed as a deer, which enables me to tread on the heights. So what is he saying here? What is he saying? The Sovereign Lord is my strength. I am sure-footed as a deer, and I am able to run or tread upon the heights. Now, one thing that I understand about the heights, every time in the scripture, the high places were those places that there was just idolatry and all type of stuff happening. So when sin becomes rampant, and when you have to get up there and destroy the enemy and pull down, the Bible said we should pull down, we should tear down, pull down, and replant. When you get there, you need to pull down some things. You are sure-footed. You won't fail. You won't stumble. And you can run upon the height and run upon the enemy. Now, before I get too far, hallelujah. Your feet enables you to be agile.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Huh? Agile. I remember going out for football, we had to do this drill that we had to run basically on a line. And we just had to just kind of walk like this. Now, even at my age, I can still kind of do it because I remember the principles. But that's agility. As a Christian in the army of God, you need agility. The reason why you need agility is because the wind will blow like palm trees.
Right.
And when the wind blows, you don't need to lose your footing because you're sure-footed. You just need to become buoyant.
Amen.
And you need to do this. Now, if you need all this in order to be stable, then God basically not to be able to use your life. You need to be able to stand. And when the wind begins to blow, you just begin to bend with the wind, not losing your footing because you're sure-footed. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So as a person in the army of God, this scripture enables you to become agile and gives you the ability to navigate in and around your enemy.
Yes.
Huh? Keep going. Your feet are your balance.
Mm-hmm.
When you're waging war, they make you stable. They make you stable. Nothing like having a warrior that keeps slipping. You want to slip? Go back home. The word sure-footed means to be slip-proof. It means to be confident and also need to be competent. It means to walk on, tread on, trample on, stomp on, and subdue the enemy. Now, I want to close with this word that I had you to write earlier. And that was in the text. It said, the people that know their God shall carry exploits. And we gave you another synonym for that word, mean to bring. So, the people that know their God bring exploits with them. When I see you, you are bringing it. When you are challenged by someone, your response should be what? Bring it. Why? Because we understand that God uses these four extremities here, his hand, his finger, his arm, and his feet to accomplish those things in your life. If he's using those things as a man of war, then you should use these things as a man or a woman of war. Look at your neighbor and say, bring it.
Bring it.
Amen. So I'm